Welcome back to Wheel of SNES, season 6, episode 7, which is
67.
Yeah, technically probably 68 with the half episode. No, we're going with 67. As you know, if you don't, we are ranking every Super Nintendo game up against themselves. So we have 67 of them. 60 that are actually ranked at the end of the season. We'll bring these 10 into the bedlam that is our rankings, whether you love them or hate them. And
they are the correct rankings.
So we spin a randomizer wheel, and it'll tell us what game that we play each week. So we don't always get to play Star Fox, and we don't get to play Super Mario. Metroid. But sometimes we get to play a game.
Like, we did get to play Star Fox.
But, you know, sometimes we got to play the Untouchables, or we got to play Super Putty. Along the lines of Super Putty, you know, the Wheel of, we called it the Wheel of Amiga because we had so many Amiga games. We got a little homage to the Amiga here, yep. Josh. This week we got Zool, Z-O-O-L, Ninja of the Nth Dimension.
Yeah.
Which I think I've heard of this game before. I don't think I ever played it. I would have thought as a kid I'd probably just said the Ninth Dimension. I don't know. Dimension seemed to be pretty hot back in the 90s, you know.
Yeah.
You had some X-Files and all that stuff, yeah. But I've never played the game. Have you, Josh?
No, absolutely not.
So the cover of it's pretty plain. It's just got a ninja. It looks like swinging over a moon or over a coin. And I guess without further ado, I want to read the back of the box to you, Josh.
Yeah.
As you can see here, without you knowing, it's awful big lettering.
It's very big lettering. It takes up a lot of the box.
So, it says, Ninja battles in the Nth Dimension. An interstellar dweller is about to hit your Super NES. He's Zool, the defender of the Nth Dimension. And in parentheses, it says, your imagination. And a thorn in the side of Krul, his archenemy. Battle your way through 6 worlds and a multitude of Krul's armed and dangerous minions. Keep the gateway to your imagination open. Way weird, way fun. I've not read it. I just brought it up, but it is way weird.
It is very weird.
So there's
I didn't know that. The main dude's name was Krul.
Well, you may not know this because I think I kind of found this by accident. did you know there was a startup screen? Like a cutscene to start the game?
No, I just hit start.
Very easy to miss this.
Yeah, I just hit start.
And the only way that I know this was because it was one of those, while I'm topping up and getting some of my initial reactions, I've just got the screen playing.
Yeah.
And I may have even went to the options menu and checked it out, and I've just got the screen going, and then I'm like, what the hell is it doing? And I'm like, oh, it's kind of like a cutscene or something here.
So if you just let it on the title screen and just let it sit for a minute?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
I'll tell you a little bit more about it. We're going to circle back around to this. It is it's weird, but probably strangely exactly is what I imagined it to be.
Okay.
But there is a mention of Krul there.
Okay.
So you got Zool and Krul.
Yeah, Zool and Krul.
So, to be honest, I pulled this up. I couldn't even tell when it was released on damn Super Nintendo in North America. Dude, I'll go ahead and tell you, there's way more about Zool than I would have imagined.
Oh, God, isn't it a cult classic?
I don't know if I'd call it a cult classic, but there's more to Zool than you expect. There is multiple. I think there was not too much, well, I say too long ago. I would say in the past 10 years, there's been like a remaster of something of this, I think on Steam, but once again, we'll circle back around all that. So it was developed and published by Gremlin Graphics.
Okay, Gremlin Graphics.
Yes.
I like that name.
Which I think Zool is kind of gremlin-y looking.
Yeah.
I pulled up some of the other games that they have done. I think they did like a Top Gear game. I don't know that there's any games that I recognize that they specifically did.
They didn't do the Gremlins game?
No. Missed opportunity.
That's
right?
A very big missed opportunity.
Oh my God. Instead of just being Gremlins the new batch, it's just Gremlin Graphics.
Yeah. Gremlin and Company.
Gremlin Graphics, but it could be like pieces, but you're a gremlin putting the puzzles together. I don't know. I don't get too far out there. They acquired, I forget which company, it's not really important. They did acquire a company that we have heard of, and then they, of course, have been absorbed or moved on.
Yeah.
The one thing that's weird is there's no mention of Game Tech, which is obviously the one that at least brought this to market, because it says it when you start it up. It says Game Tech. And the two, I know we played more than two games, because actually I think I can say the three games that we played that I know is Game Tech. Two of them I know 100%, and I'm going to look this other one up. Can you got any guesses?
No, I've got no idea. Super Putty would be a guess.
No, they are very niche, and one of the games we played was kind of out of niche. I guess
Puzzles and Wild Snake.
Let me see here. Okay, I'm correct on the three. That they basically specialize in. This is a good hint. See if you know. They specialize in TV game shows. So it gives away two. You have to work for the third one.
Yeah, so that's Family Feud and Jeopardy Sports.
Yes.
And TV game show.
Technically, I guess you would call it a TV game show. You got to think outside the box.
Okay.
Big box, little box, cardboard box.
Dick in the box.
Step one.
TV game show. And we played it.
Yes. And I would not have ever imagined that they did this game, but after I say TV game shows, it makes perfect sense. But I just realized when I was rambling on here, it came to me.
I still want to stick with like Pieces.
No. It's a TV show. It's technically a game show. It's not like a game show like Jeopardy or Family Feud. It's American Gladiators.
Oh, shit.
So, okay. I mean, yeah, I guess it's tech.
Yeah, it's a game show.
So, Game Tech is all over this. I don't know what their
motto.
I don't know how they got into it. There's not really a whole lot from what I looked about it, but I'm sure they probably brought them a game and said, hey, put this on the market. And they said, give us some money or give us a big percent and we will.
Yeah.
And that's what they did, which. I guess another thing I got on my mind is then maybe we'll think about our Game Tech games at the end of this and see where this ranks up against the three more traditional.
Yeah.
Or the two traditional and two outliers, maybe. Yeah. Anyways. So this thing was released on a lot of things. And there is a lot of bullshit on Zool out there. Just so you know. So there's one that I've not. While you're going to guess, I'm going to look this up and see if it actually was released. Because I seen some that said it wasn't released on it, or it did not state it was released on this system, and then I seen that it was. So,
So of course, the SNES.
Right, there is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11, possibly 12.
Okay. Of course, the SNES.
That is correct.
The Commodore.
No.
Really?
No.
Okay, the regular NES.
No.
Sega.
Yes.
Does that count the Genesis, or is that?
We'll count it. They got Master System and Genesis.
Okay, that's what I was about to say.
Is it the Genesis? I'm not a Master System guy. Sega. When you say Sega to me, it's Genesis.
Yeah.
So
okay.
So you got Super NES, Genesis.
Game Boy.
Correct. What's the Sega version?
The handheld. The
Game Gear.
Game Gear.
That's four.
Okay, then since it's not on the Commodore,
you're getting to the tough ones. There's two of them that you should probably get.
Yeah. See here, the arcade cabinet.
No.
Oh, that would have been cool. So there's two I should be getting. See here.
I mean, they're tough. It ain't like obvious, but you know,
Atari.
You'll be correct. I'll give you Atari ST.
But say okay. Again, Atari, if I say Atari, I'm covering the wide.
But the one of them is, and I'm looking it up here, I also seen that it was citing that Atari Jaguar had this. I never heard of it. And I had a Jaguar for a brief time, and I'm like, maybe this would be a cool Atari Jaguar game. I pull it up, it looks like Zool 2 is on Atari Jaguar.
Oh,
and okay. I don't know that might be Japanese. But anyway, so okay. Atari Jaguar was one that I've seen mentioned and I've seen not. But a lot of times when they were talking about Zool, they were inadvertently, some of the research I was doing was grouping the whole series in together. So they weren't just, I mean, I'm sure if you spend 20 hours a week researching Zool, you can probably figure it out. But as a blanket.
Yeah.
MS
DOS.
MS DOS. That's correct. You're doing good. There is three more. There is two of them. You got no shot at getting in one of them that I'm surprised you have not.
Steam.
Got. No.
the Steam Deck.
But there was technically a remake on that, but come on, there's one that you're missing.
The Amiga.
Yes, yeah, I was going to say.
I was going to save it for the last.
Now, I did not know that you would ever get the CD32.
No.
I do not think you would ever get Acorn Archimedes.
Absolutely not. Never heard of that one.
Ironically, Archimedes is the name of the hedgehog that's carved in the tree out there.
Okay.
Allie's name, not mine. If you notice, he's got a witch's hat on or a warlock's hat.
Yeah.
However he identifies. As you leave, you can see that.
Oh, I know. It's awesome. I love him. I didn't know his name was Archimedes, though, yep. Which was interesting.
Yeah, you got Archimedes and Merwin.
Merwin? That's the gnome?
Yeah. Allie, trust me to name the damn dogs, does not trust me to name the fucking trees. So, whatever. Coming back to it. So, I guess you would really call this a platformer. I feel like you put a star next to it because it's a platformer, but I don't know that you really consider it a traditional platformer. I think it's more like a platformer, like what you would call Sonic the Hedgehog as a platformer. Is it a platformer? I don't know.
There's two different styles of platforming games. You got your traditional and you got your...
I guess you would kind of say this is more like kind of like a run and gun.
Yeah.
Except you're not really that much gun and it's just more running.
Yeah, you don't have a gun.
It's almost like a speed run.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you technically got a blaster of some sort. So, okay. I'm going to try my best on the plot of this thing. You're Azul.
Yep. From the nth dimension.
I put you're a gremlin ninja.
Makes sense.
You are from the nth dimension.
Yep, and not the ninth.
So I never really know. Now, apparently you've got a comic book in the manual that might matter. To me, it don't. I'm playing it as it is. So the essential plot that I would say is he's not necessarily a ninja ranked yet. He is not a ninja.
He's a trainee.
He's trying to achieve the level of ninja ranking, which I'm going to guess is black belt. But that's what they're calling like their ninja.
He's a Padawan.
So he's basically got to come to Earth and pass the 7 tests / the 7 levels, and then he achieves ninja ranking.
Sure.
That's what I got out of
it. Sounds about right.
And then the 7 tests that he goes through, of course, there's 7 levels plus bonus level at the end. That, full transparency, I watched it play because I could not fucking get... There's no way in hell I could get that far in this game.
No.
So the 7 levels, I'm going to try to work off memory. You start out in Candyland.
Yep.
Then you go to, I guess you'd call it Computer Land. And then I know you got, a Jungle Land. And then there's ones like a Toy Land.
And then you got, Music Land, I guess? Or would you...
Music. I think Music Land is technically in Computer Land because it's about as goofy as you expect it to be. You've got your own theme, and it's okay, I guess, for what it is.
Each level has our own unique little theme.
And
I want to know where the fuck on Earth is Candyland.
He is also, as it says, that it doesn't really tell you. Maybe it does in the comic. But to, let me get this pulled back up. I did not know there was a damn chain crossover that Zool is the defender of the nth dimension. The nth dimension, they're saying, is your imagination.
Okay.
So,
So this is imaginary Earth.
I guess. I don't know. Maybe he's battling through your imagination. I don't know, because, I mean, it kind of makes sense with the way the worlds are. You're definitely themed like an abstract type dream,
Yeah.
He's in Imagination Land. Just a little bit different than South Park's,
Yeah.
There probably ain't going to be no man bear pig in there. Yeah, maybe probably. There will. I don't know. I didn't run across it. He goes through these, and then, once again, I think it's worth noting the final stage. I'm gonna guess that you didn't beat this game either because it was hard as balls. And we'll go more into why I would assume you didn't beat it because spoiler alert, I might not think it was that good.
I was sick Monday.
And it's like a side scroller, kind of like, not really a defender, but it's like a shooter. You're in a ship, and it looks again like you're in somebody's body.
Yeah.
Like, I ain't gonna say you're in a sphincter, but it definitely looks like you're in a bloodstream of some sort, which is like, why is there always a body? It seems like we've had a lot of games where we're crawling through a butthole, is what it looks like. So, I guess that's that. And that might be my next prediction, is like, we're gonna be eaten by something, and there's gonna be a level up. But either way,
there's gonna be a level where we're inside something else.
Yes, yes. So I don't really have nothing more of the makeup of the game. I mean, I guess as we bring it into make it, I can. Well, I've got this as the first thing in my make it. If you got nothing else,
no.
I'll kind of tell you what the startup.
Yeah, I'm very curious because I did not let it play through.
And so then after I went through the last level and I watched it, there was kind of a cutscene that was almost the exact damn same, leaving it. So it starts up. And he's in his little spaceship. And it's kind of like cartoonist, like, I guess, comic book kind of style. But, like, every time there's, like, I can't even really focus on what he's doing because, like, it pops up and it goes, like, boof, thud, thunk. And it's, like, just sound effects, but it's got the words wrote out of it.
Okay, like, so it's boom. Like the Adam West Batman.
Yes. But it's, like, they're just popping up. And then finally, at the end of the startup, it mentions, like, one line about, hey, go destroy Krul. That's where I seen the name Krul. And I'm like, what? Like, you literally gave me a whole startup that had, like, one sentence after the end of it. I just watched, like, three cutscenes. It was nothing like, vroom, boof, thud, pow, wham, nutshot, you know, I don't know. And, spoiler alert, at the end of it, it does essentially the same thing as he's getting the hell out of there. And then it says, congratulations, you beat Krul or some shit. Really weird. Really weird. I put it in the make it because I wasn't ready to have. I did not think it had one. Yeah, to be honest. Yeah. And I was just like, wow, this game really don't tell you what the hell you're doing.
Nope.
And it still really didn't tell you what the hell you're doing. But it kind of made. I don't know if it added to the charm. It was just really strange. And I'm like, well, in my opinion, when you name your game Zool, a defender of the nth dimension or whatever, and you're the guardian of Imagination Land. You're probably going for weird.
Yeah, and you probably need to give me a little bit.
So I didn't put that in the make it just because.
Yeah, I had no idea. I was just assuming that since we didn't have a hard copy of the game and we didn't have the comic book, we had no idea what the fuck we were doing.
Well, it didn't help a lot. Like, it didn't help a whole lot. And I got to imagine that the comic book probably didn't have a whole lot either. So I really don't know, and the comic may explain this, but I really have no idea what Krul's intentions are.
I'm assuming to destroy Imagination Land.
I would think,
maybe. Make you grow up.
I don't know.
Stepbrother style, man. I used to pretend I was a velociraptor outside. And then my dad came out there and beat the shit out of me and told me I had to grow up.
He stopped calling you Nighthawk.
Yeah.
And started calling you Josh again. Yeah. All right. So, another thing I got in here. I've got this as it works with the game. The music, to my opinion, isn't standalone great.
No.
I wouldn't put it on here and listen to just tracks of Zool. But in the context of the game, it works. It works
good in the level design and everything like that. It's not, it's good, but it's not fire like right. Mega Man.
Yeah, and it feels like a 90s game.
Yeah.
And I think probably one of the things is, you know, it kind of goes in is the game moves so quick, you ain't really got a whole lot of time to focus on. And I've got another reason why the game's quick and there's a negative of some stuff you're not able to focus on in the game because it's like a whole point of try not to fucking die.
Yeah.
That was how I played it anyway. Yeah. But, you know,
speed run, move.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was okay. It was good enough. Once again, I don't know that this is a game I could pour 47 hours straight in.
Oh, no.
The music would probably get pretty old at that point, but I think for what it was, I was okay with it.
Yeah.
Felt 90s.
I enjoyed it. Like I said, the music wasn't too terrible to write home about. I did, like I said, I think it went really good. Like, it'd be weird for the Candyland music to be in Computer Music World, or whatever you want to call it. So I think it matched very well.
Now, heads-up display is going to come back around.
Uh-huh.
But at least there was an arrow of some sort showing you where you should be going. Now, one thing I guess we didn't mention is you're collecting a bunch of shit, just like any Amiga game that there is. And you got to collect whatever number it says. There's an arrow with a number. You collect those damn numbers till it hits zero, and then you follow the arrow, and it's allegedly taking you to the end of the level where you jump and hit a big coin. Don't really need much of an arrow, in my opinion, because you run rod as fast as you can. It's essentially what I did. So I never thought, oh my God, this is going to be like, I felt like a Mr. Nuts, you know, you had to like snake through a few of these levels. No, this was just run to the right.
Yeah, run to the right, jump, avoid, kill enemies.
So at least you did have a little bit of an arrow to guide you.
You had a health bar too.
Yeah. That was, you know, I think you predicted a unique health bar. That was kind of a weak at. Save it for breaking. Save it for breaking. Let me, I just got to come back around and we're going to talk about heads up display and health bar.
Okay.
Because, I do not think you were correct with it being a unique.
No, it was not unique. Now, my emulator, the controls were a little crisp. I didn't have a lot of float for me.
To me, this is a Sonic clone. So it's like, how crisp is Sonic really? I don't know, because you're constantly moving, jumping, trying to, like, so, I mean, maybe the controls have to be tighter to be able to do some of that stuff. Maybe they can be looser and it's just part of the game, because this game isn't necessarily like a Mario where you fall down in a pit and it kills you. There are spikes, but I would call them insta spikes, because if you got health, you can bounce through them. So I feel like part of the game is made to fall. So, I mean, the controls were okay. The good thing with the controls is whether you liked them or hated them, you could customize them starting off. And I will say that, for me, I wasn't much of the blaster. So, you know, Zool attacks basically blasting and doing the spin where I'm imagining you can barely see it. These guys' little knives or blades out and spinning like a damn tornado or their windmill. That was my attack.
Spin attack.
The whole thing is like, you're holding that damn L button down the whole time to do it. But at least, I did have a note that at least when you're running, because you're going to hold that L button down the whole fucking time. Like, there's no reason not to hold it down. It didn't really suck that bad to hold it down. It kind of felt good in your hand.
It was
all right. It was just like you did it and you didn't think about it anymore.
No. But, I mean, I got to say this, though. Mega Man, you have a health bar.
Yeah.
But instant spots are still instant spots.
Well, Mega Man's a son of a bitch. I do, for whatever reason, the aspect that probably makes this a little bit different than... like I say, I'm not a Sonic guy. I don't think Sonic can do it. Maybe Knuckles or somebody can, but I kind of like the wall sticking.
Knuckles can.
I mean, you're running through here, you're jumping. No. There ain't no... I mean, you could have a damn walkthrough with the map drawn out and the whole fucking... it ain't gonna matter to me. I'm just screaming across this damn level. So every now and then, just damn jumping and damn going spread eagle on a damn wall and catching it. Kind of like that Vertical Limit movie from the late 90s, early 2000s. You just latch on. And so I liked wall sticking. I got, for some reason, I don't know why I did. I wasn't really good at it, but just sticking to a wall made me happy.
But yeah, no, Knuckles can definitely do the wall sticking. Here's something that you haven't said, and maybe on your make it or not, but I appreciate a unique game. Unique storyline.
I didn't have it in there. It's different. There ain't. I don't know that it's...
I mean, there's only so much you can do with, like, platform genre, but it's a unique story.
I can definitely tell I never heard of Zool. And I mean, when you look at some platformers, like when you're going with, like, Speed Racer with the platform and stage stuff, it could have been a lot worse. I'm not going to say that it was great, you know. I'm not going to say, hey, man, you know what I fucking love? I love me some damn platforming with some
Speed
the Mega Man. I like doing it with damn Mario and fucking Zool. There is a big gap in between some of that platforming there.
Again, unique storyline. It was, like I say, it was interesting. Unique, I don't want to say unique background stage development, but wasn't bad.
Now, I've really got about two things. I'll kind of bullshit a little bit about a third thing that I guess we've probably become desensitized to because we've played enough of them. But One of my favorite things is the save spots, a 3.5-inch floppy disk.
Yeah.
And I don't know that kids nowadays even know what a fucking 3.5-inch floppy disk is. But by God, growing up in the 90s, 3.5-inch floppy disk is all you had. And then you got the damn zip drives where it held like a gig or two.
Yeah.
And nobody in the fucking world. Like, you had to be rich to own one of them. And so, like, I used to be really big into computers and PCs. And, of course, I've been out of it for so long, I'm damn dinosaur with it now. But you throw out an old 386 or a Pentium 1 or 2, and yeah. God, we're going to fire up some fire-ass games. And give me that Dungeon Siege 1.
Yeah.
Come on with that.
And then also the fun thing about those floppy disks is you got to remember in the late 80s, early 90s, in those bad action movies, those could destroy the world.
I will tell you, 3.5-inch floppy disk helped me find one of my favorite games ever. And it was three floppy disk, and you had to damn tape. The installation sucked because you had to have all three disks and make sure they didn't get boogered up, which they were tougher than CDs. And you fed them in. And that is 3.5-inch floppy disk is exactly how I was introduced into XCOM.
The original XCOM.
Yes.
Okay.
And, dude.
That's how you first became a dungeon dweller.
That was some shit. And I ironically, I think I had one for the first Diablo. I'm pretty sure it came on a 3.5-inch floppy disk. And I learned that some people just want to watch the world burn because you could kill. Man, it was like going in town. Everybody's like, hey, let's go down to this dungeon, please. And it was like, no, thank you. They're like, I promise I won't kill you. And I'm like, why would you say that?
Yeah.
Like, well, why are you making that? And then you know what? Motherfuckers try to kill you, but the whole time you're sitting there, you could hit escape and Q before it killed you. And these damn dudes would go down there, super-powered wizards, and they do a wall of fire, and it's escape Q as quick as possible. And then sometimes, man, and it didn't matter if you had a fucking massive-ass riches. If you got killed in that dungeon, you lost them all.
Yeah.
So then you logged back in, you're like, fuck, he got me!
Yeah.
Or like, wasn't nothing you could do. He was Debo. You couldn't fucking take him down.
It was the same for the early days of WoW for World of Warcraft.
I think I've got 3.5-inch floppies. I know I still have some. I think I've got some where they have like 4 MP3s because it used to take like 2 hours to download an MP3.
Yeah.
And I think it was I could only fit one or two or three of them on a damn 3.5-inch floppy. And there ain't nothing I have but fond memories of some garbage ass 3.5-inch floppies.
Well, I remember whenever me and you used to work at the Lex. And it completely baffled me one day. We got a shipment in, and it was 2 packs of 33-inch floppy disks.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, what? And we're like, what the fuck is this for? And they go, oh, we're pulling this old ancient robot out that runs off of these. Why?
You know, and the thing that cracks me up is, them, like, I knew when I was out of the computer game when people were like, My computer don't even have it a 3.5-inch floppy. And they're like, oh, hang on. And there's like a USB drive it plugs in.
Yeah, you can plug it in.
Oh, wow. I was like,
yeah.
Life comes at you fast.
Yeah.
But anyways, I love the 3.5-inch floppy, especially in the levels where you're in the electronics and stuff. That is 90s.
It was funny.
That is 90s as fuck to me out there.
Yeah. It was. It was good.
So I've only really got one more thing that I've got on the game, Josh. So if you have anything, well, I guess this is one thing that should go in because we take it for granted. There's a few things that this is basically I ain't gonna say it's an Amiga game. It was definitely designed for the Amiga in mind. Is you get, you know, the colors and kind of the kookiness that is Amiga.
Yep.
I know that probably resonates with you a little more than it does with me. It kind of comes across as I ain't got time for this shit for me. You appreciate it a little bit more.
I did. I did.
So
always like a score.
So, yeah. I mean, it's. I don't know that we've played a damn Amiga game that maybe Obitus was Amiga. I can't remember. But most of them are kind of goofy and kooky and I guess hard to get mad at. It seems like everything it was designed for, it was like fun and upbeat for the most part. So, yeah, the only thing that I have left.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's make it or break it, but I put it in make it, is even though I wasn't really much of a fan of the game, I like the character more than I like the game. I like Zool.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but his sprite looked good. He seemed like he was fun. I mean, you're running as a damn ninja that moves really fucking quick and you got knives and shit. I don't know what else I need. Other than a better game for it. I don't know. My whole point is, like, this game, I feel like I sat there playing, I'm like, this game really isn't good, but I enjoy playing as Zool.
Yeah, Zool was a very good, like I said, the whole work that went into his whole sprite, his movements, his animation was actually really well done. So, I agree with you on that.
So, yeah, I don't know. And with me not knowing Zool of any point other than the Ghostbusters? Dog from Ghostbusters, yep. I am Zool. You know, I'm not a Zool guy, obviously, but I like Zool, so I'd imagine there's probably Zool fucking super fans out here somewhere if I like him, and that was my introduction to him, you know. Fuck, talking about introductions, I completely gaffed. I have a fucking Kirby shirt that I picked up at a damn yard sale that I was meaning to wear for you. It's a damn purple-ass shirt, too.
So, does it say, suck you off?
He's actually sucking in a bunch of fruit.
Yeah!
So, there's right. Sucking happening on it. I was going to wear it to work, and I put it on. I'm like, no. Yeah, I pulled it back off. Remind me next week. I'll wear my damn my Kirby. So, you know, I guess this is a... maybe a theme coming up. Introductions, too. I got an introduction to Kirby, introduction to Zool. So maybe it's another series that I've never played. That's
never heard of?
Yeah. Or that just, I mean, Kirby, you know, really. Well,
I mean, you heard of him, but you
I
never
mean, I played Kirby's Dream Course, but I still feel like introduction was that.
Yeah. Know? Okay. Okay.
I also seen a thing that popped up on my Facebook about Kirby's Dream Course being like one of these hard games, and I don't know if it really is. I used to fucking own that game. Like, I was 100% dude, hey, that game.
I used to own fucking Mega Man.
you know, I bet we don't know more.
I know. Well, I beat Mega Man X2 before we recorded that podcast. I made sure that I fucking beat it. I put in a lot of hours in on that.
Don't let me forget, too, when we get to the end of this, I have a Zool story from today. From out in the, like, in the
out world. Out in the wild?
Yes.
Oh!
It surprised me, and Mega Man was actually involved, too, but,
if they say that Zool is the better Mega Man, I'll fight those fucks.
Nobody said that. Okay. So, I gotta go ahead and put, you got anything left for Make It?
No, I think I'm good.
Okay. This is probably the biggest break it, and this is the part that you're probably gonna like, and
it's
I don't like.
Dits. It's hard as dicks.
Well, it is. As I've got right here, the quote that I have on my computer is, it's a class Amiga game, so that nobody knows what the fuck they're doing or what the power-ups actually do.
Yeah, all chaos, buddy. So, all chaos.
There
all the
is
time.
1,076 different fucking items to collect in this goddamn game, and who fucking knows what they do other than just trying to get to the damn exit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And right below it, I guess this kind of ties in. We'll just go ahead and bring this up. And you got a meaningless point system once again. So, I got one. It was so bad, I've actually got another. Like, I've got the same thing wrote twice. And I want to just reiterate it twice when we get there. I just noticed I got it wrote down twice. So, yeah. Super Putty has a identity to the game to get the putties or whatever out. You know, this game is, you know, basically run to the exit, collect a few things, just, I guess, to put an objective in there. But the same thing, the points don't fucking matter. I can guarantee if I run through a level and I've got to pick up 100 things, I don't know what fucking 97 of the things that I pick up is.
Let alone what they do.
Yeah. Yeah, I hit just that fucking random power-ups, and my dude starts flying through the air and all that, and I get the damn Shadow Ninja, and I don't know what the fuck's happening. I get the Shadow Dude, I'm like, hey, I can't fucking die. Guess what? Yes, you can. So I'm like, I don't know. I'm just a goddamn bull in a china shop with it.
Yeah.
Maybe I cannot appreciate what it is, but by God, if you love Amiga, you will fucking get jack your wiener to this game. You will love this fucking game if you are...
I do love the random chaos of it just because it's so entertaining to me. Because there's nothing worse than you having a good power up and you panic and hit the wrong power up and then it goes away and then you're like, oh, fuck.
I'm just sitting there like, oh, there's that. I died.
Well,
oh, I went a different route. Ended up the same spot. I fucking died.
But I say, think of it like, the way I think of it is like Space Megaforce. Like Space Megaforce had those power ups that you knew were golden. They were key.
Yeah.
You needed them. And then out of nowhere, you dodge a bullet, get the wrong power up, and then you're fucked, and now, you go in panic mode.
That's a level of fuckery I can appreciate, you know? Or you die at the boss, and then you get whatever garbage-ass level one power up.
Yeah.
Maybe you can even get it.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was compliments to that, because there were certain weapons that were garbage on certain levels.
Yeah. Yeah, but
I was actually sitting here thinking, as like some of the surprising games we played, and Space Megaforce might be one of the most surprising games. And it's not that it's a hidden gem per se. It's just I never played it.
Yeah, it was
and I
didn't fucking know good.
It was that good. And I couldn't really tell you why it's that good until you just fire it up. Yeah. Fire it up and see. Yeah. Now emulate it or repro it or
whatever you want.
Whatever you want, because I remember it was an expensive fucking game.
Yeah.
Banger game.
It was a fun one. It wasn't bad.
There's a lot of these where I'm like, I don't know if a game's going to be in the top 100. I know Space Megaforce is. I don't know where it's going to be. I would like to say it's probably a top 20 game for me, but I don't know. We still got some shit to go. to stay on the line of Amiga is, I think you can't deny this. I got enemies that are super weird, and who knows what the hell they actually are.
Yeah.
I don't know why in the first level there's so many damn bumblebees, other than the bumblebee is the boss at the end of level one.
Bees are attracted to sugar.
Good point. Good point. You know, dumbass me. well, what about the guy that looks like a magnet that's just blowing shit all over the damn place? Like
Computer World.
I think he was in the first world, too.
Was he in the first?
I don't know. I don't even know about these damn dudes, the Dig Dugs on the damn the side. I don't know what any of these enemies are. I mean, I guess they kind of make sense. If I never played an Amiga game, they'd be like, what the hell? But then I'm like, what's weirder, the damn enemies or all the shit that I'm picking up along the way? One, half dozen of the other. Classic Amiga. Classic Amiga.
I say, still favorite Amiga enemy? Space Ninja Cowboy.
That was pretty good off Super Putty.
Yeah.
Now, you could have took the enemies from this game and inserted them in Super Putty and inserted the Super Putty ones into
this. Oh, it's still mad.
And they would, yes. Yeah. I'm making a bold prediction that any enemy from an Amiga game can play in any, it's the same universe.
Yeah,
it's all Gotham City.
All interchangeable.
It's all Metropolis. Yes.
It's all part of the MCU.
It's all part of the nth dimension. Like, because you could literally put them Super Putty, other than the Ninja Cowboy and the sumo wrestler, like the ones where the sprites were way too big to fit on the screen. If you found pound for pound about the same size sprites, you could put Super Putty in there and it never even question it because it's just a goofy ass Amiga game.
What was the name of the fucking cat from Super Putty?
Well,
but I'll say just because was his name. His name wasn't Cruel.
No,
because if it was, then that means they're all linked together.
You're gonna make me damn find this.
And then Kid's Cleat wasn't an Amiga game.
I think it was.
Was it? Let's see here.
Oh, The wizard's name is Dazzle Days.
Yeah, Dazzle Days.
But I don't know what the cat's name was. I know I'd found this at one point.
Yeah, because we played another game with that same fucking cat in there. And I can't remember what that was.
Let me see. Ooh.
Was it... What was it?
Dude, I'm getting down a rabbit hole. I type in Putty, and then they give me damn Putty Patrollers. It's a name of all the villains, and it's damn ninja. Not ninja, damn Power Rangers.
Oh, yeah, dude. No, get back out of that. Back out of that.
So, Kid Cleats, just so the world knows that, and that don't fucking care.
About to say our 23 viewers.
Is,
Was it an Amiga? I didn't think
yes, it was.
It was?
Yeah, it was released on a lot of stuff, but it's essentially an Amiga game. I got things that I don't like, too, is the boss fights weren't fun.
No, they weren't.
And they were aggravating. I will say that I bring back silver lining is the bosses were kind of fun. I mean, the Bumblebee wasn't real cool. But then, like, later on, like, in the tool world, there was, like, the tools. You had, like, a damn jackhammer.
Yeah.
Fuck, what was the music one? It was a guitar.
Oh, yeah, the guitar was the music.
So, they were goofy, and then you had... I think it was like... It almost looked like a damn clown with his eyes bugged out. They weren't really fun to play, but if you had drew these up, and, like, we're storyboarding, you're like, here's the enemy of this stage. I'd be like, yeah, I'll mess with that. Like, that's cool. You know, how many times you get to face a monster guitar? Or a fat-ass damn... Bumblebee that is impossible to shoot because he's 16 stories taller than I fucking jump, you know.
So,
but whatever.
But my whole thing is, I don't know if you played Cuphead or not.
And no, because If I can't handle Mega Man, I know I can't handle Cuphead. I don't know Cuphead is slit your wrist damn tough.
And if you want to 100% it,
you got to have a fucking flawless run.
Well, not only that, but you have to do a pacifist flawless run. You can't kill any enemies.
So, yeah, that's not happening. I have more respect for myself than to play Cuphead.
You can only kill the bosses.
You know if I get onto something, I can't let it go. And I would hate to play that game and fall in love with it and say I'm going to platinum it. And then fucking waste the rest of my life like I am Balatro trying to platinum this fucking game.
But the reason why I bring up Cuphead is that the enemies from Cuphead, like you said, bringing it up like the giant bumblebee. I could see that in that style of game. So,
once again, I've got in here, who the fuck knows what's happening at any time. That is a reiteration because you never know what the hell's happening. Also, I'm going to put in here, you have like 7 levels, like 3 or 4. There's over 20-something levels of this. Yeah. That is way too much for this game.
Yeah, I'm about to say, I managed to get through 4 levels. I think I made it to the jungle.
You need to, in my opinion, this game is... Go through a level, make me pick up more shit, make it the first level a little bit longer, and make the second. Because I do think the checkpoints were adequately spaced.
I do too.
So,
save points.
Yeah, so I mean, now that I'm thinking about it, there's probably more positives that saved this game more than it, you know, helped it, I guess. So maybe you had one longer level with a couple of checkpoints and then a boss fight.
Yeah.
That's all I need. As tough as this game was for me, and it wasn't really fun for me to want to go back and try to learn it better, that would have been fine. The heads-up display was garbage. It really wasn't, I guess, garbage, but I'll go ahead and tell you, if you had to look up at your health, you're already dead.
Yeah.
If you have to... if you're having to look to see how many items you've picked up, you're probably already dead. Now, I guess, once again... Doubling back something that makes it. You've got nonstop action like a lot of these Amiga games. But by God, you can't stop to look at your shit on that screen. So you might as well just not even give me a heads up display.
Yeah.
Now maybe if your brother or I'm playing it and you're watching it and you're like, oh man, you got 3 more to go.
Just you got keep 3 going. Yeah.
Maybe that's how it's designed, you know, because that's how Super Nintendo was, you know, kind of couch co-op stuff. Or, you know, you're waiting for your turn. So maybe you have a spotter per se. But, yeah, you could have just did away with whole display because it didn't matter to me. The points didn't matter. I think it was a timer. It had 350-some seconds on it. I think, hey, guess what? I ain't surviving 350 seconds. I'm beating this bitch or I'm dying before then.
About to say, the timer was like the Mario. Because Mario had a timer on it. And it was like 300-something seconds. Like I said, it was ridiculous. So I was looking up what level that I made it to, whatever the jungle level is, wherever that's at. And Zul is actually a gremlin ninja.
Okay.
So, just so you know, he's actually a gremlin ninja.
I only have one more. I know the name of the fucking cat. Dweezil.
Dweezil?
Dweezil.
Okay.
That's Dweezil is the cat from Super Putty. That
pops up randomly goes, yeah.
All right, so last thing I got is if you pick up this game and you're playing it, it feels like you're playing the Great Value or the Amiga or the Poor Man Sonic. And I'm not a Sonic guy. Like I say, hey, Mr. Nuts is kind of like Sonic, but better. This is not better than Sonic. I will tell you that, and I'm not a Sonic dude. I'll beat up on Sonic. He's better as a cartoon character than a video game character. Pretty good as a movie character, too. I've never watched the movie once. I bet I like it. He's got that attitude. That
yeah, he's funny.
But
I'll be in theaters in December to watch Sonic 3 with Keanu Reeves playing my boy Shadow.
So I just feel like you're playing Poor Man Sonic, Amiga version Sonic. If you're a Sonic fan, this game hits home better for you than me, but it doesn't for me. So I ain't gonna say it's a tough game to play, like for me to force myself to play, but it
just
definitely
don't really want to.
You're definitely not one that I appreciate.
You don't want to dive hard into this.
Do you have anything on your heart for Break It, Josh? Anything that needs to be said to the masses?
No, I think you cover it because I mean the only thing I could add to it really is even though I like a get good game, this was way too long. Well, I said that's literally it. Like,
I've got fun fact speedruns, price charting, and reviews. I'm going to do the reviews first because I think fun facts make me like Zool more than the game.
Okay.
So these reviews cover all of them. The first one was Amiga Computing. Basically, we're going to go with Amiga Computing, Amiga Action, Amigan format.
Okay.
They both bragged on it, gave the scores in the mid-90s, mid to high 90s. Electronic Gaming Monthly call, it said that Zool has good graphics, but character motion's too fast with little control. GamePro did the Game Gear version, which I do think the versions of them vary decent. Like, there's quite a few differences. They said the Game Gear version had great graphics and sound abound, and it's crisp gameplay. Power Unlimited gave the Game Boy version a score of 80%, and the Sega Genesis a score of 81. The magazine was pretty positive about the game, but it did not add anything new to the platforming genre. And retrospectively, Virgin Media, according to this article I found on Wikipedia about Virgin Media, and said that Zool was on their top 10 video game list of ninja heroes.
Oh, that's bold, boy.
In 2011.
Okay, hang on. Wait, let's unpack that for just a second.
How many ninjas are you really? I mean,
you got the turtles. That's at least four. Unless they count them all as one.
But it's just video game ninja heroes. So if you say it's them four are on that list forever, right?
Yeah.
So if you say, I don't know the main character's name, if it's just one in like Ninja Gaiden.
Ryu Hayabusa.
So that's five. So I mean, do you know 10 video game ninjas per se? I guess is where it comes down to.
Yeah. Mortal Kombat.
But I will say, Zool is kind of a cool fucking ninja.
He is a cool ninja.
There was another magazine that, or
is
website.
Is he number 10 out of 10?
I don't know that.
Is he the last one?
I did not dive that deep. this article citing Wirtuana Polska, which that definitely sounds like a Polish magazine or website, ranked as 22nd best game for Amiga, noting its absurdly high difficulty. I agree. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and hit. You want fun facts or you want speedruns first?
Speedrun this, because you said fun facts makes you like Zool more.
I do like Zool more because of it. All right, so speedrun, this is kind of weird. I looked it up because I wasn't sure. There is any percent and any percent level select. So when I pull up the rules on the level select, it's the same rules as any percent just beating the game, but you can use the level select code allowed to start on the last level. So basically, you're starting the last level.
Yeah,
which kind of seems a little bullshit.
Yeah, you got to complete the level. You just got to beat the last
level. It sounds a little bullshit, but there's only one person that's completed it.
Oh, God.
So, any percent, spoiler alert, only one person's ever completed it.
Is it the same person as the one who done the level select?
No.
Oh, interesting.
The level selector is from, it says a he, him from Canada. Online 7 days ago, still saw active in the community.
Okay.
And online 5 years ago, somebody from Pennsylvania that owns the normal one. So, Josh, I would be scared if you ask me, hey, what do you think a speedrun is on this? I wouldn't fucking know because it would take me 16 years of my damn life.
Yeah. Just because of the four or five, however many levels I got to the jungle.
Things are... Might have been three. I'm not sure.
Was it three? I said.
Either way.
I was sick. I was doped up on medicine, so I don't remember.
That's probably the best way to play this game.
Yeah. Chugging NyQuil and trying to stay awake. I'm going to give you a solid 45 minutes.
Dude, I think... Let me pull it back up here. I'm multitasking. I think you may have just about hit the damn nail on the fucking head. Close enough. Close enough. A note, from Pennsylvania, Butters BB.
Butters BB.
It says...
Butters Big Balls.
They put a note, a run I did for the bonus stream. Blah, 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 blah. He said, somehow, this is still the fastest recorded time available, as far as I know. Plenty of room for improvement. Speedrun community, here you are. He said, hopefully posting this up will encourage someone else to try. He posted this 11 years ago. It has not encouraged anybody.
Here you go, Murr. This is it.
Dude, I'll go ahead and tell you, there's no fucking way.
You could see Muffy Woods Combs.
No, Butters BB did it in 43 minutes and 7 seconds, and it is safe. Keep your gold medal. I don't even want a silver medal. Of course, you want a silver medal? It's right here. Yeah. Any percent. So basically, you're skipping to the last level. 2 years ago, a user out of Canada called UJABUJA, Ujabuji, Ujabuja, I don't know how you say
it's probably French.
Ujabuja.
Yeah.
So they just played basically the last level. I don't know if that's the bonus level, to be honest. I don't know if it's the bonus level or it's like the side-scroller shooter or if it's the running through.
Or it's the, yeah.
I kind of feel like it's probably the side-scroller. Either that or this dude's a fucking boss because it's a tight score.
Really?
Yes. It's definitely less than 45 minutes.
I figured. 3 minutes.
2 minutes and 2 seconds.
Holy shit.
Which is weird that this is set up as that. Now, Zool has a lot of different speed runs for every fucking console.
Except for this one.
Well, I mean, they've got them all set up. Because that's why I think like the Amiga, the Genesis, the Game Gear, the Game Boy are going to have... A lot of times it's going to say, hey, any game console.
Yeah.
If it's the same game. Obviously, I think there are variances probably due to hardware and such.
Yeah.
So that's what makes me think that if you play this game on Genesis, I think obviously Game Boy and Game Gear will be vastly different, but I don't know that you're getting the same
game. It didn't have a big enough computing power. That's where you probably run into, what was it? Final Fight Guy, where you can only have like 3 people on the screen at a time.
Yeah, I think it was like 4
total
or something like that.
It was
that.
Like 4 total. It was like 3 enemies and 1 person or 2 people and 2 enemies.
So, yeah, that's... I'm pulling up our list. You would think that somebody would be more prepared than this, but I overestimate my power to multitask as I'm pulling up our rankings from last week because I don't want to tip you off or give you any... I want the honest to God...
Well, you got to do the fun facts through.
Yeah. Well, I'm getting there. Okay, so here's the fun facts. I'm going to hit you with my least favorite one is... My favorite one, it's a toss-up. So, my least favorite one is George Allen. He's the designer of this game.
Okay.
So, basically, maybe part of why this game is the way it is, because you definitely don't have no shortage of enemies. He was criticized in a previous game that he did called Switchblade 2. And they basically, the way they made it sound was like he got rode hard and hung up wet because they said there wasn't enough enemies in the game. There's a lack of enemies.
Okay.
There is no...
No.
He's listening.
Yeah.
He's listening. You say there's a problem. George Allen, I think you checked the box. Plenty of fucking enemies. I think I know which one's my favorite one now. This one's a pretty good one. So this is, as far as I know, Zool's just a... Ghostbusters fucking dog. Yeah. Susan Sarandon, is that who plays it on?
Yeah, Susan Sarandon.
And it's a goddamn video game ninja from the...
Gremlin Ninja.
Gremlin Ninja from your imagination, or Defender of Your Imagination. There, in 1995, there were 2 children's novels released based off the game entitled Cool Zool and Zool Rules. So
interesting.
I mean, I guess at the end of the day, you know, you're telling your kids to be creative if he's the guardian of imagination. And he's probably, and you know, in true Super Nintendo and Amiga fashion, there's not a lot of blood or guts or not, just block enemies and
they just
fall off, explode. And you don't really feel bad about, oh, I just killed something.
Yeah, they just turn into dust or poof of smoke or something.
It's pretty funny that you say poof because the early name in development for Zool
was poof.
Close.
Poofing?
No, it was with a Z. Poots. POOTZ. And I think that's my favorite fun fact is in early development it was Poots and of the nth dimension.
In the nth dimension.
Maybe that explains why it looks like you're in somebody's bloodstream or butthole at the end
that
of
that. Could be. Yeah,
you're escaping.
You are. Huh, it's interesting.
So I don't know. You tell the guy he's got a lack of enemies, he fixes that. You make damn kids' books out of it in 1995. And, no, just one. You gave 2 novels.
Yeah.
And it's children's novels.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling like you're getting like a Nancy Drew book.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Even though it might be a graphic novel because they do obviously have a comic book.
That's why I was saying it was more of a graphic novel or something along those lines.
So then you got Poots.
But also, you got to think about it. A kid's book is probably about at maximum, what, 20 pages?
I don't know. I'm about to... You're going to have to carry the conversation, Josh. I'm
about to say.
Because I'm about to Google. Or I'm about to go see on eBay how much
money... how much a Zoot, Zool book is.
Yes.
But yeah, most kid books, if you think about it, the Bernstein Bears and all of them, they're like they're kids books, but they're at maximum 10 to 15 pages. So I'm assuming that Zool may be around that same frame, probably, unless it is based off of a comic book style, then it... If it's comic book style, you're getting roughly 30, but if it's a graphic novel, then you're getting a solid anywhere between 40 to 80.
So when I looked up Cool Zool Books, it gave me a book called 123 Zoo. Multiple.
123 Zoo.
Yeah. So let me look up Zool Rules.
Zool Rules. I'll say. And you're on eBay?
Yes. I do not see one there either.
Hang on, I'm going to Google. See, you said Zool Rules.
Zool Rules and Cools.
Is it with the Z?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, I found Zool Rules in the video game library, and it is basically what you expect. It looks like a Scholastic book fair. And
yep, that's where I was about to go to.
Says cooler than Mario, smarter than Sonic.
Fuck off!
That's literally what it says. And then I found Cool Zool on the same one. It once again gives the tagline of cooler than Mario, smarter than Sonic.
121 pages.
I thought he was going to say fucking dollars, and I'm like, you better burn that bitch, right?
How much is the book?
I don't really feel that. There's a good read. That's
$350.
For Cool Zool, so I'd imagine that the other one.
If you want a hard copy, it's $25.
I was going to say, it's probably an online copy. It's rated 3.5 out of 5 stars, but anyways, we digress. All right, so price charting. Ironically, Josh, out of all the damn games, I went to a pawn shop, and they had fucking Zool.
Did you buy it?
I had it in my hands, prepared to buy. Which will give you a clue of pricing, because, you know, I'm a cheap bastard. And
you set it down, didn't you?
Well, I looked at it, and the label was perfect. Now, the sides of the Super Nintendo cart literally looked mummified, like somebody took wet toilet paper. It was a rental cart, and where the sticker went all the way around the back. And I'm like, you know what? I don't feel like cleaning it. And the woman said, well, I'm not locked on the price. You know, I'm always willing to negotiate.
Yeah, already.
And I'm like, you know what? I've got 100 other games I got to clean. I don't need this one to clean.
Yep.
And I walked out, and I thought a lot of times I'll have remorse, and I might go back, or I'll think about it. I about forgot about it until this podcast. So I literally have not thought one more inkling about it.
Okay.
So with all that being said, what do you think the price of Zool is? And I can tell you where I think it is at its lowest, and I can tell you where it is at its highest. At its lowest, it looks like it peaked, it bottomed out in August of 2013.
Okay, 2013.
Loose copy. So you got to get your equation. Here's your little damn reach for the stars.
Reach for the stars.
Looks like an Arthur hand. Well, I guess he's sideways. That one's more like, damn you dirty apes.
Okay.
In August of 2013, I got it rating around $1.02.
Okay. Okay.
So, do you want to do some math? And then you give me your first guess, and I'll tell you what the highest it ranked.
Okay, that's 2013. I'm sitting here trying to think.
Just think 2013. That might have been the year the Falcons went to the Super Bowl and got beat. They were good, relatively.
But now I got a place in this G-Mer pawn shop. Algorithm.
The GMR cheapness.
Yeah.
Cheapness, after I told you I almost had a $1,200 deal that got blown over $20.
Yeah. So, and you put it back because you didn't want to clean
it. I just mentioned blown and $20 in the same sentence.
$20 is $20. $20 is $20, and you turned it down.
Yep.
Let's see here. Knowing you, not wanting to clean it, I'd say this thing is probably about $8.
You're off. We're going to be splitting hairs, though. The highest that I ever show it in the peak was in November of 2022.
Okay.
And a loose copy was
$17.22. $17.
So you're close. I'm not going to lie to you.
Okay.
I cannot say you're way off when you know it's somewhere between 1 and 17.
Yeah.
You were a little low.
Okay. Well, say...
So. Now, according to price charting, what I was going to purchase it at was a deal.
Really?
But I did not feel like
cleaning it.
The cleaning it was not worth it.
Okay.
And it's not even like a GameStop sticker. I'm really good at taking GameStop stickers off. And I'll be, I've like multi, I don't even think about it. I'm sitting here like watching TV.
With a little
goop on. And next thing I'll be like, oh, this thing's clean.
Yeah.
And this one was going to require.
Finesse.
Not really finesse. It's just like, man, there's going to be a lot of goo gone. I hate using goo gone. I'd rather use alcohol.
Yeah.
But this was a rental sticker. It needed goo gone. And to be honest, be a little bitch, I don't like the way the goo gone feels. It's greasy. Yeah. I don't like it. It's a texture thing for me. And if it was $100 car, I would have 100% have no problem cleaning it. It just wasn't worth it.
But just knowing, yeah. Okay. I'm going to go with $11.
A loose copy of it, one sale per week, is $14.
Okay.
What I seen it at the pawn shop for was $10. And dude, that top label was crisp.
Yeah.
And the bottom, the front label was crisp. And she started pulling it up and seeing a little white. And I'm like, oh no.
Yeah.
And dude, this thing looked like it got mummified.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? I'll pay $14 to have a clean copy. And I know what she's wanting to do a deal. And I know she would have probably offered me $8, which would have been gut check time. And I'm like, dude, if it's less than $5, it's the most I'm going to put on the cleaning I'm going to have to do. Now, if I didn't care and have pride, I try to, even if it's a $10 game, I try to let it have its moment. I try to clean it and put it up there nice and neat.
Add it to the collection.
If it was my rental, which I have games that I have better copies of, but it's got the Madisonville video sticker on it, I still keep that just for the nostalgia.
Yeah.
Some people will keep the Blockbuster stickers on it, but this was a sticker that had been ripped off. It was just remnants.
Yeah, you couldn't even tell what the rental sticker was.
I would just pay $14 for a clean copy if I have to. At the end of the day, five sales.
You didn't.
Five sales. I'm surprised I didn't either.
Because, I mean, you bought Roger Clemens.
It was clean, though. It had a box. A complete price one. There's five sales per year. Okay. What do you think it is, Josh?
So.
Loose price is $14.
Yeah, about to say $14 for loose. And then,
just so you know, I'll tell you, you know, just to spoil, give you a little porn here. The box only price is $24 even.
Okay.
Manual price is $10.07. So technically, I can't give nothing away.
Okay. Technically, that's only going to be $34. Let's see here. We only ever had one that was perfectly even. That math out perfect.
Yes.
I think this one's going to be a little higher. I'm going to say $40.
At complete price, it's $55.
Okay.
So they're five sales per year. So if you actually took the time before shipping to buy the manual and the box for $34, and there's five sales per year, you could make $100 in a year just completing
doing this.
Yes.
Okay.
If you actually do that, please let me know. That sounds so goofy, but I'm interested.
You're intrigued.
I genuinely got questions.
You're intrigued now.
Yes. I don't know where I'm at with this, Josh. I could probably sound myself out, but
no new.
Oh shit! What am I thinking? I've got
1.5 times this, which is going to put it at roughly 140.
Bump it up a little bit.
150.
Bump it up a little bit more.
160.
A graded one is $193.60. I only got one of them that sold per year. One sells per year of a complete one, so it really, I guess you would say it's a 1-on-1 per year.
Yeah.
It can vary as much as it wants. $176.
Okay.
So I guess at the end of the day, you're sitting there thinking is like,
I just spent extra like money to get the graded.
I feel like this game has been, I don't think it was underproduced, and it was probably made later in the life cycle, even though I couldn't find the exact date. But I think it kind of is, it constitutes the game's only $14, as it's not really a great game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess if you love this series, you love Zool, if he's
If he's your
cooler than Mario and smarter than Sonic, then by God, you can eat it up, son, because he's relatively cheap.
He's your gremlin ninja of your dreams?
Yes, I get that. You know, that's explaining a video game badly. Gremlin ninja of your dreams.
He is. That's exactly what
maybe,
it is.
Maybe next week. Damn it. I was like, if you didn't know the next game. You know what? Maybe next week I'm going to explain one of the games we played poorly and see if you can guess it, maybe.
Oh, dude, I'm all for that. I'm all for that.
Just like how, like, I watched the movie Twister, and you say, hey, what's Twister about? Oh, it's tornadoes. No, it's literally about a bunch of scientists trying to break up a marriage.
Yeah.
Like, the original Twister is literally that.
Yeah.
go back and watch it if you don't believe me. So, the end of the day, Josh, $14. I got this cartridge that ranks around $14. $7 cash. Which are you taking?
I'd probably take the cash, honestly. Just because I'm not a collector.
Okay, let me ask you this. If you go there and you find a copy that is 10 crisp dollars and you pull it out, it looks like it has just been like tagged up like a damn sticker on a damn bathroom wall in Knoxville. Like, that's what it looked like. Now, there was no, you couldn't even see none of the stickers. You just tell it was from a rental store.
Yeah. But it had a crisp label.
Oh, yeah. The label was nice. What would you pay? Would you take a... that or $5? A nasty ass looking game or $5 cash?
If I'm a collector, me personally, I still take the $5. Because I'm with you. I'm lazy. You got a whole lot of other games that you're refinishing, repurposing, cleaning, and all that stuff. This is only fit, what? You said $14?
Yeah.
And that's not counting shipping. Shipping's what? Maybe...
$4.56, $5, call it $5.
Yeah, so $20 even, you get a crisp one. Yeah, I just do that.
I was a complete buyer, knowing that this is the game that we're playing and I don't own it, and I look down at a game I've never heard of and it's sitting there at a pawn shop I've been to 100 times. I'm like, yes, please. For $10 I would have purchased it. That lay it. And it was clean. If they would clean it. I always go in and be like, you got 10, will you take 8? That's always my thing.
Yeah.
But if it was brand new, clean, knowing what it looked like, I'd pay him $10 in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Yeah, $10 is about all I'd spend on it.
Yeah.
I would probably keep this one just for what it is. If that one was clean and it was $14, I would have probably passed on it, to be honest.
But, well, you probably went out there and said, hey, would you take 11 for it? Right. They probably would have done it.
And, of course, you know, if I buy more, everything gets a little cheaper. But, anyways, going to rankings, Josh. You've got Captain Commando number 1.
Yep.
Bugs Bunny Rabbit Rampage number 2.
Yep.
Kirby Superstar number 3. Rocko's Modern Life 4. Artie Lightfoot. Pretty close. Except I think Kirby is at the top. Captain Commando, Bugs Bunny, Rocko's, and Artie. I don't know. I think I know exactly where I'm going to put it. Are you ready to go? Or do you want me to sound it out?
Go ahead and sound it out.
All right. Kirby's better in this game. Well, let me do it in yours. Captain Commando is better than this game. Yeah, I think you would agree with that.
Yeah.
So that's your number 1 game. That's my number 2. I would think that we both concur that Bugs Bunny is better than this. That would be an assumption from me. And I definitely say that Kirby is better. So it really comes down to Artie Lightfoot and Rocko's Modern Life. And as sad as it is to say, Artie's Lightfoot was fucking garbage.
Hold up. That list doesn't make sense.
Oh, what, am I missing one?
Star Wars.
Oh, fuck. You're right. Hang on.
Because I was sitting here, I was adding up. I go, that's only 5 games.
Well, you like you said, the production value you're getting here.
we're professionals.
hang on. I still know where I'm ranking it, though.
Okay.
All right. Pull up thing.
Let's see here. I was... Yeah, because we done rock, like I said.
You're right.
I was sitting here thinking, we had another game. What was it?
I was thinking Bugs Bunny was the latest one, but here I am. I've got us.
Bugs Bunny was the latest one.
All right, you got Super Star Wars number 1.
Yeah.
Captain Commando 2, Kirby, Rocco, Artie. I've got Kirby, Captain, Star Wars, Rocco, Artie.
And then Bugs.
Shit, where have I got fucking Bugs at? I'm all out of sorts here. So,
Because Bugs should have been our last game that we...
You're right.
...played.
Hang on, hang on, hang on. Well, that's the one I had originally pulled up. But I left Star Wars off.
Yeah, you left Star Wars off. So, Star Wars is number one for me. I know that for a fact.
I'm going to go on a guess right here because I did not. I'll have to go back and check it. But I'm sure mine is Kirby, Captain Commando, Star Wars, Bugs Bunny, Rocco.
About to say, that's, that sounds right.
So, yeah, I've got yours on here. I don't have mine.
So, Star, Cap, Kirby, and Bugs for me is my Rushmore.
And then you got Rocco and Artie.
Artie.
Doesn't change a whole lot. Kirby's still better. Captain Commando. Empire's still better. Bugs is better, in my opinion. So, Artie and Rocco, to me, is unplayable games, and it's characters that I don't really care about. So, I'm going to put Zool at number five after Bugs Bunny, ahead of Rocco and Artie.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, once again, you've got Super Star Wars, Captain Commando, Kirby. I would imagine that you like those more.
Uh-huh.
Then you got Rocco and Artie.
I should have Kirby, Bugs, Rocco, Artie.
Bugs. I have Bush wrote there. I'm auto-correct. So, you got Kirby, Bugs, Rocco. Do you think Bugs is better?
Same for me. But this is number five.
Number five. Let me make sure I save it this month or this week.
Like I said, Bugs is better than this game. I still like Star Wars, Cap, Kirby, and Bugs a lot better. Even though Zool's interesting, it's a cool little gremlin ninja of your dreams.
Zool's a decent game that I don't like, I guess. Yeah. It's an okay game I don't like. The other games, Rocco's, that shit was horrible. Not a fan.
Yeah, not a fan of escort missions.
Yeah. Already broken ass game too.
Yep.
So, any predictions for next week, Josh? We're getting close to the end of the season. We're coming up on what episode? Are we getting into the eighth game?
We haven't had a sports game.
Okay.
So we have not had a sports affiliated style game this season.
So I'm guessing
kind of upset.
Josh says sports.
Yeah.
I was thinking, I had on my heart all day that it's just going to be a game with Super in it, which narrows it down to like 200 fucking games.
Yeah.
But I think I'm going to change it. And since we got Game Tech in here, I think I'm going to say that we're going to get a
game show style.
I don't know if there's any more game show styles. I technically think
there's Wheel of Fortune.
I think one of them Tiny Toon games is kind of game show-ish style. I would say TV show would be my blanket. But yeah, I think we're going to get like a game show top.
Like Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy.
Yeah, there is. Now we've got Jeopardy. There's still two Jeopardy games.
Yeah, Family Feud.
So
there's what, two Wheel of Fortune games?
Yeah, I'm just going to say, I'll just say Game Tech. I don't know. I think they probably do every one of them. It'll be some kind of game show on TV, and I'm kind of put the Game Tech tag on it.
Yeah.
So you're saying sports, I say Game Tech. I guess we'll come back next week and we'll see.
All right.